ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadda Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, Mr. Sciarra, let's get everybody caught up with news of the day, and we'll get into your Barkley audio, and then we'll get into the massive booger. If you're looking for news of the day, very sadly, Sam Ehlinger's brother, a linebacker for the University of Texas, Jake, 20 years old, found off campus, near campus, in Austin, passed away. The Austin Police Department said it received a call at 12:18 p.m. local time, responded to the 1200 block of West 22nd Street, a residential area just to the west of the University of Texas campus, and identified the individual as Jake Ehlinger, who was a redshirt sophomore, and no cause of death was released. Police say the death was not considered suspicious. Sam Ehlinger had been drafted by the Colts. He was in Indianapolis. He's returning home. The family is dealing with all of this, coming off of the fact that their dad died in the last couple of years. He was like a marathon runner or something like that, triathlon runner, and he was in San Francisco for a triathlon and died of a heart attack at 46. So a lot of tragedy in the Ehlinger family. Prayers out to them. But a sad story, as Coach Sarkisian and everybody said, that they are just in a severe state of mourning based on the fact that, you know, just kind of unexpectedly they found the past.
Sad news. Gave it a mention in the show. Didn't want to elongate it too much. Unfortunate situation, especially when you're supposed to be excited, right? Your brother gets drafted in the sixth round, like you mentioned. Everybody in the family is happy for you. You've got another brother who's a linebacker at Texas. You think the world's ahead of you. No foul play. I guess that's some sort of positive if you want to take anything. But unfortunate situation for the Ehlinger family, and hopefully they can get through it.
Yeah. Other than that, we know that the Astros are at home tonight with Jose Urquidy on the mound as they open up a three-game series against the Blue Jays. I guess, unfortunately for Astros fans, George Springer will not be playing. And now it looks like no matter what his time on the IL in terms of what the days are that were allotted, it's probably going to go further than that, as they said that he is struggling. I don't want to hear from any Astros fans that are happy about this, saying that's why they shouldn't have signed him, because he hasn't really played for them except for a couple of games. I don't wish any bad on George Springer. As Nick and I have said, I hope they give him a standing ovation, a video, and everything else that they do, because the dude's legacy is solidified as a Houston Astro, and hopefully he gets better soon and he gets back onto the field. Rockets are in Milwaukee to take on the Bucks. Bucks need the wins as they are chasing the Nets, who lost for the fourth straight time last night. So Milwaukee has the second seed in their grasp, looking to try and catch Philly for the number one seed.
That's why they're going to put a whooping on the Rockets.
That and the fact that yet another Rocket is in protocol, as Jayshon Tate now is dealing with that, on top of Kevin Porter Jr.
Well, he got three negatives, but he's still not sure whether or not he's going to play tonight. So hopefully he plays tonight, but there's a possibility that he doesn't.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. So whether he plays or not, they're going to have a hard time fielding a team of eight guys.
Oh, yeah, they're not. They're not going to win.
Because Porter Jr.'s got the ankle. Christian Wood, they want to still hold out. We know that Eric Gordon's probably somewhere in Cabo, sitting on a lawn chair, because we're not going to see him the rest of the year. But with all the injuries that they have that continue to add up, this team is just going through the motions to lose every game the rest of the way. And so that's why we got the one win that we predicted. We didn't get it in the game we thought it would happen, but they're done winning games. Yeah, they should be.
Yeah, they should be. And hopefully, I mean, that's the best chance for them to get that draft pick that they want. So, I mean, I'm probably not going to watch that game. It's about the same time the Astros start. One starts at 7. I think the other one starts at 7:10. I can't remember which. So I'm probably going to dual screen it like I usually do. But in most cases, I usually pick the Astros. But today is Friday, so.
Yeah, and no. And I'll do the same thing. I'll be peeping both, but I'll be more focused on the Astros because they're the more important and pertinent story. So we got all that. Now, you've got for me some Chuckster audio. I did see during the break, and I mentioned, go Google Charles's golf swing. And several guys on Twitch did it. And it's pretty amazing, the transformation. I forget who he said, but someone on tour And this is the problem Charles always had, knowing everything about his golf swing that I do. I mean, he's so addicted and loves golf. You don't understand how devastating it was that he had that hitch, that he couldn't play golf the way everybody else did. It drove him nuts. And I always said the biggest problem that he had was he would go, he lives in Scottsdale part of the year. He'd go to Phil Mickelson's coach and get a lesson. Then he'd go to Tiger's coach and get a lesson. And coaches, just like managers or otherwise, golf coaches, they each have their own concepts on how to teach a golf swing or fix problems. He had so many thoughts going through his head. There was no way he was going to figure out a way to hit the ball straight. And literally, we had people tell him when he was here, he needed to be hypnotized in order to have a chance to ever hit a golf ball without a hitch again. Somehow, some way, he worked with just one guy, and he got it figured out. And
well,
I was telling you during the break, the fact that Bo Jackson said he'd actually wanted to kiss him on the mouth because he was so worried about playing with him because he knew he sucked. And then after seeing him hit three drives right down the middle, he said, I literally just want to kiss you on the mouth right now.
That's hilarious to me. Well, I mean, look, I didn't know that he had such a hitch in his golf swing, but but he has the money and the time to do it. So if he really put the dedication to it, and if he's anything he's going to put dedication to, his body can handle you know, what the body goes through when you just play golf as opposed to playing basketball or working out, because we all know he's a big dude. He's a really, really big dude.
Well, but you know, he's also had hip replacement and one knee replaced already. So that changes everything in terms of from being a big dude.
But it's still kind of on him. He's a tough dude. Hip replacement.
It's hard to lose weight when you can't run anymore or do a lot of things because you got an artificial hip and an artificial knee.
Right.
You can bike.
Well, Barkley, Kenny, and Shaq got into it about what you need for a championship team, and I thought you'd get a little kick out of this. So this is what it sounded like.
They have guys who are others.
Yeah, but
and then they have guys.
Others who deliver.
Others who deliver. And get the job done. Rick Fox got the job done.
Hold on. Did Chris Bosh get the job done in Toronto?
No, he did not.
Oh, that's my point. Right. So don't be – he got the job done. And listen, this is not a slight on Chris Bosh. See, that's why you guys always talk about who wins the championship.
Chris Bosh, you consider an other?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. He was the other – wait.
All-star. He's an all-star.
Whoa, they got 25 of those every year.
Yeah, but that's
But those
point.
Guys, when you – see, listen, this is what I'm telling y'all. When you have to be the – drive the bus and you're not just riding on the bus, that's when you're a star. And listen,
no one's debating that. We're talking championships.
You win a championship when you got the best players.
No,
and Shaq always talks about I don't think the Detroit Pistons, when they beat the Lakers, we had the best players.
Yeah.
I don't think they had the best players.
They had three Hall of Famers. They had four Hall of Famers.
Chauncey Billups and those guys.
The Lakers were 102 years old.
The Lakers was they were awful.
You're just wrong, Chuck.
That was entertaining.
I know, you're just wrong. You don't talk about them.
No.
So I saw it live. And it started because Shaq said the most important player on the Nets is Joe Harris. And Charles blatantly disagreed. And that's when he got into the discussion of, no matter how good your role players are, your superstars have to be great. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, it's very important to have that role player like a Joe Harris, because in some cases it is the difference of you winning or losing games or even series. But it doesn't start with that role player. It's the role player. I don't want to say it's an afterthought, but it kind of is. You got to get your core right. You got to get your star players. Joe Harris is absolutely necessary. And you can make the argument that if Joe Harris isn't healthy, that they may not win a championship. You can actually make that argument. But it does start with the star players. And more importantly, more than anything else, they need James Harden and that hamstring to be healthy if they want any type of chance to win a championship.
That's what I was going
to
say. But you're right, Nick. You start with the hamstring, and then you say, in my mind, that James Harden is the most important player to that team.
Yeah.
Because, as Charles was saying last night, Kyrie and Kevin Durant get theirs. They go and get their own stats. But they don't make the guys around them particularly better. What James Harden has done, opposite of what he did for the Rockets, is he's gotten onto a team where he actually has guys he trusts.
And they can shoot.
So he passes. When he passes, he puts them in position to score. And then they have to just knock down the buckets. That's why Harden is the most important guy to that team. Because if Harden goes and does what he's done in the playoffs for the Rockets, that Nets team is only going to go so far and they're not going to win at all. If Harden is a distributor, if Harden keeps filling up the box score, and then Kyrie and KD and Harris and others just do their part, then Brooklyn has every chance in the world to win it all.
Oh, yeah. And the important thing is that they shouldn't have to rush James Harden back. Now, James Harden's on record saying hopefully he can be back a couple of games before the postseason. But if you're not ready before the postseason, James Harden, guess what? Sit your ass down. Chances are the Brooklyn Nets are going to handle whoever they face in the first round. Take your time getting back. Get your reps in slowly because you absolutely need to be a part of this Brooklyn team if you want to have a chance. Now, the good news is well, actually, it doesn't really matter because the Lakers injury situation doesn't matter because they're not going to face the Nets only in the event that they reach the finals.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. The, James Harden, because you know he's itching to get play back. He's itching to get back on the floor because he's a guy that doesn't like to rest. He likes to play a lot of minutes. So he, if he's saying, I want to be back two games before the postseason, there's a good possibility that he may not be ready for the postseason. Keep him on the sideline if that's what it takes, if he's willing to rest, and let him heal 100% and then bring him back, even if it means you're bringing him back in the middle of the first series.
But here's the thing, too, to me. You know what you're going to get from James Harden in the regular season. And we've seen what he's going to do for the Nets since he's been there. But the three of them together have only played seven games throughout the whole year, which is kind of remarkable for the team that they
have. But they're just so talented. It doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but it doesn't
matter. But it does, because I've always said there are teams that think they can just flip a switch at any time and they're going to be great. You still have to build chemistry, knowing where guys are going to be on the floor, where they like the ball, where they score effectively. That's the thing that I'm worried the most about. Because you're right. James Harden doesn't have to play another regular season game. Probably doesn't have to play in the first round.
Yeah.
But the practices become hyper important because in practices, when you're scrimmaging, they've got to build up that chemistry to know this is where Kyrie likes it. This is where KD likes it. This is where Harris is most effective. This is where Landry Shamet makes shots. This is where he misses them. DeAndre likes the pick and roll on the left side versus the right side. Those are the little things. It might not matter in the first round. It's going to be hyper important in the conference finals, no matter who they play, maybe even the semifinals, and especially in the finals if they get there. Those are the kind of things. And James cannot do what he did with the Rockets and disappear or have a less than stellar playoff.
And he won't because he won't have to deal with that pressure. You have to remember, he's playing with two players in Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And let me tell you something. I was watching their game. Was it last night or the night before?
Last night.
And the in-game adjustments that Kyrie can make when he runs into traffic, even when he's just simply, not simply, but penetrating to the basket, is just unreal. Like, he can have a double team, then get away from the double team, then someone else picks him up on the switch, then he gets away from the switch, then he penetrates to the basket, he's shooting up layup, but then he reverses it and goes on the other side. Those type of players did not exist on the Houston Rockets when James Harden was there. So I don't know if he's going to choke like that.
But neither did Shamet and Joe Harris. And Jeff Green did. But, you know, for the most part, there are other role players. We know that James got sick and tired of passing to guys if they didn't make shots because they weren't at the level of the guys he has. But I still can't say what you said, Nick. I can't say that we know for certain
that he won't choke.
That he won't choke in the playoffs. It's a different animal when the pressure gets big. And like I said, first round, I'm not worried about it. Playing Philly.
I don't think the pressure gets big even in the second round, though.
It could if you play Philly. Or Milwaukee.
You think the pressure is going to be that unbearable for him in the second round?
I think, no, it starts there. It starts to build there it feels different. But then it only ramps up and ratchets up with every subsequent round. You play in the conference finals, James can't play disappearing act in three of the seven games.
No, he can't. No, that for sure, I agree with you 100%. I just feel like it's less likely to happen on this team, but I could be wrong.
That. No, I see.
I could be wrong, dude. Like, I don't know. And if he, I'll tell you what though, if he does choke with this team, that is going to be the ultimate bad look for James Harden after everything that he did here in Houston and how he left and how fans were kind of bitter towards him. The last thing he needs is a performance where he chokes in the playoffs, particularly in the Eastern Conference, where the competition is just not the same.
People want to poop on Westbrook because he hasn't won the big one, but if James has the reputation of being a playoff crapper. That's so much more difficult to overcome.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. At least Westbrook's been on crappier teams, with an exception of the OKC team. They probably would have won that one had they just stuck it out. Or they would have won at least one, I felt like.
I think you're probably right. All right, we got more to get to in the show. Lots more to uncover and, of course, to get you guys involved with. Before we do that, I want to tell you about the people at Fitz Roofing. Look, Corey runs the show over there. Corey's the vice president of the Houston Roofers Association. He was just nominated to that position because he has the resume. He has all of the skill and the knowledge that people look up to. And that's why he's got a position like that. And so much so that he's expanded the business. It used to be just roofing for your business or your house. Now they do home repairs. They do fences in your yard. They do so much more. And one thing that they didn't change is they still do everything that starts with a free, no obligation inspection that costs you absolutely nothing, that brings them to your house to see what you need done and gives you an estimate to tell you what they can do if you choose to go with them. It's simple. You call them 832-521-3001, or you can go to FITZroofing.com. But either way, book that first appointment. They're going to come to you and tell you what they can do, then go back on their way and continue to make their calls. You want them to come back? They're the best in the business, and it's across the board. Best base warranties, longer and better than your average roofer. Best ratings, A-plus on the Better Business Bureau, 5 stars on Facebook and Home Advisor. Best products like CertainTeed Shingles, where they're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States have the criteria to get that status. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. They're good, really good, and they're the people you need to call if you need anything done around your house or with your roof. Call them today, 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through round number 2 of the 3-hour program. Allergies are killing me today. If you notice that I'm a little bit under energetic, but I'm still far more energetic than Patrick Creighton will ever be. And I don't have to be loud. But always a pleasure to be with you guys and Nick as we take you through a Friday on the program. We got you caught up on the news of the day. The other Barkley story, or Barkley related story as it relates to what Nick played, was the fact that we know that Charles Kenny and Shaq do the Thursday night telecasts. On Tuesday night, and I forget the guy's name, but I'm not a fan of the guy that hosts instead of Ernie on Tuesday night. But it's Candace Parker, Dwayne Wade, and Shaq. And lately, when they're in the green room in the back, Dwayne Wade's been catching Shaq sleeping, and they've been playing tricks on him, and they put it on social media, and it's pretty funny. Tuesday night, it was hilarious, and Shaq had no idea. And Candace Parker, and they were posting all kinds of memes and cartoons. Shaq had the biggest booger in the world in his nostril. And he didn't know it was there. And they showed D. Wade, and he was trying to, like, give him hand signals, and Shaq wasn't picking up on it. And then Candace Parker was, like, doing the side eye with the bug eyes and kept looking at it like, oh, my God. And when he finally realized it, he brought his phone out and looked at himself with it and touched it, and it came out. And D-Wade goes, no Kleenex in the world can hold that. And he pulled out paper towel, like 18 sheets, and he goes, bro, you got to use this. And it was hilarious. And they were all like, that's the biggest booger I've ever seen. I'm like, only on that show, in that studio, are you going to have a topic like that?
Yeah, of course. And the fact that he touched it with his hand, my goodness. But they've been going at him a lot. I like the fact that he can be picked on a little bit more. I feel like he's loosened up a little bit because I feel like his sensitivity was always high.
You're right.
And I've seen it a couple times where Candace Parker and Shaq actually go back and forth a little bit.
Like
when they debate and stuff like that. But yeah, no, I like that show. I love that show. I actually went through a montage of some of the old shows to go back in the day on YouTube. I still do that and just watch random old clips. Like everything that he said about San Antonio women and stuff like that.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
But to give you a quick update on the Justin Verlander situation, he says a lot of things have to go perfect if he wants to pitch again for the Houston Astros this year. So he's not ruling it out as a possibility for him to pitch, but he thinks a lot of things have to go perfect. And then another quote that I saw by Chandler Rome, and it reads as follows, do I want to pitch this season? Absolutely. But there's a lot of things that have to go perfect. Oh, no, I'm reading the wrong one. He says, I'm hoping my teammates put me back in a position to where I can pitch again. So that to me means he doesn't want to give up on pitching. He doesn't want to stop playing. Whether it's with the Astros or not, I would imagine he wants to play with the Astros. But for the most part, I think he doesn't want to give up on baseball just yet.
Now, let me ask you this, and I'll ask the people, too, if you guys want to chime in. But if you can only, next year, if you can only have one, you want Greinke coming back with his 89-mile-an-hour stuff, or you want Verlander coming off Tommy John? Because I honestly think there's a scenario where Verlander comes back to this team. I think that obviously he's got to change his goals in terms of what he wants financially. But I think that he has an obvious choice chance to win here. He and the wife have said how much they really like how laid back Houston is, and they don't get bothered and chased by paparazzi and all these things. And the Astros have proven that they're still going to be a competitive team. I could see a situation where he could come back here, but I think just trying to put my mind around if I'm Justin Verlander, I go back to what I said earlier in this show and on other multiple other shows when we've talked about this. I already know my money's in the bank for this year. I ain't rushing back for anybody, no matter what kind of run they're on and how close to the World Series they are, because my main goal is going to be, where am I going to extend my career? And who's going to give me the contract in the years that I need so I can keep playing?
But to answer your question, I would lean towards Justin Verlander over Greinke in the event that he can show that he has it a little bit, only because the fastball is so necessary. And I mean, look, Greinke does a wonderful job of getting you to kind of chase and pitching despite not having a really fast fastball. But if Verlander can show anything, any signs of that, then I'm going to lead towards Verlander. I have no problem with that. And I think the other thing is, if he starts accepting, in his mind, if he starts accepting salaries that he views as not paying him to what he is today, he may not accept it. I mean, he may not want to take that deal again because he wants to be viewed as that guy, that ace that can still do what he normally does. He has that. And there's nothing wrong with that ego, by the way. I'm just saying he probably has that in him.
And so here,
he wants to be viewed that way, Joel.
I don't like honoring these kind of idiotic, like, smarter than everyone else kind of texts. But the text comes in. It's a dumb question, Joel. Greinke can't throw 95. Verlander can. It doesn't matter. You know who the best pitcher on the Astros is right now, and it was at the start of the year? It was Zach Greinke. And again, just like I said with Verlander, if Grinke's willing to come back, and he's a guy that doesn't like big markets, he doesn't like having to deal with the media, he doesn't like tough questions, he's got issues with social, you know, dealing with from a social situation, media and otherwise. If he likes the entire scenario, and he's made enough money in his career, which he has, and he likes being able to pitch on a winning team, he may give you a big discount too and want to come back. So it's not a dumb question, because Verlander, we don't know how they're thinking, may want to do it at a certain price,
but what are you
and
picking?
Nothing less.
What are you? I'm picking JV. Who are you picking?
I am picking JV as well because of the fact that I think, simply put, he thinks this team can still win and he doesn't have to go and reprove himself and push someone else out in someone else's rotation or prove to a team that he can do it. And he's also comfortable not being in the media spotlight and scrutiny on a daily basis in some of these other big markets, to where he can have the best of both worlds, and he continues his legacy with his second team instead of, again, going to his third team. And we talked about this when we were talking about retired jerseys. He's going to have his jersey retired in Detroit, and it's a slam dunk because that's where he spent the majority of his career. Someone said, is Greinke on, I think it was Dick on Twitch said, Greinke gets his done in Kansas City, and I said, I don't think so. Because, yes, he started in Kansas City where he really started to flourish, but then you forget, he went to the Dodgers, he went to the Brewers, he went to the Astros. There's so many other teams that you start taking yourself out of consideration for retired jersey because you pitched so many places and won awards at different places and achieved, you know, different things at different places.
Someone's asking who's been a better pitcher in the past 5 years, Verlander or Greinke?
Now think about that. That's a good question too, because you know why? Because Verlander had some really down years where people thought that he was over the hill in Detroit.
He thought he was over the hill.
Everything was going in the wrong direction. And then he got with Brent Strom. And then he got with spin rate. And then he got with a good team. And he resurrected his career. Greinke, no matter where he stopped, he has been in high demand. Even going to Arizona, and they had some decent teams, he had good years. So it's easy to quickly say Verlander. But when you start crunching the numbers and looking at it, don't scoff at what Zach Greinke's been able to do, especially with a declining fastball.
Yeah. No, and I don't think you should scoff at it, but I think ultimately if he can show, and he being Justin Verlander can show he can throw 95 miles an hour, I don't see how you don't go with Justin Verlander. And look, I don't want Greinke to leave this team. And isn't it a situation where the Diamondbacks are still paying a portion of his salary? Not a bad situation if you're the Houston Astros. Not a bad situation at all. So And someone asked, is it possible for Verlander to get a half-season contract? If he kills it, he's a free agent. If not, off the hook. Number one, even if they can do that, Verlander is not going to settle for a half-season contract, nor should he. So,
and yeah, you're just like we said with everything else, he's earned the right to never be embarrassed by having to make that decision. Whoever's going to sign him is going to sign him to multiple years at a fair price.
Yeah, not a half a season. That's just, now that's a bad question, what Joel threw out there. No offense, 713, but that's a bad question because he just simply won't take that. He won't take that deal.
No, not at all. So, I don't know. You know what? Look, I really, truly would love to have Verlander if I knew, because, you know, most of these guys, when they come back, Tommy John surgery has proven to actually strengthen their arm. Look at Lance McCullers. So far, so good, right? But because we talked about this on multiple occasions, including this week, Nick, where I said, you know, it's funny, Jabba Chamberlain, Steven Strasburg, and now May with the Dodgers. They completely coddle these guys now because they want to avoid Tommy John surgery, and they shut them down at a certain amount of innings. They don't want them throwing too much. And inevitably, all three of them already had Tommy John surgery. So the thing is, you just need to let them go. Like, holding Strasburg out of the playoffs that year was a freaking joke. Because if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. The good news is it can actually prolong your career, and you might come back stronger and better after you had the surgery.
And it depends on the player, but yeah, you're right. We've seen that. It just depends on the player. It depends on how that arm reacts to the surgery, and it also, in some cases, I believe it depends on the doctor.
Someone said Clemens did a second-half contract. I never remember that. I've never heard that.
Even if he did, I don't see the point is Verlander will not accept that, in my opinion. I don't think he accepts a half-a-year contract.
I know Roger did the one where he didn't have to travel all the time, and they did some things so that he didn't have to do full-time, like, team travel and stuff, but it wasn't a half-year deal. It was the equivalent of a full-year salary. But that's the first half of the program. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show with lots more to get to. And again, we love having these dialogues with you. It's not an argument, it's a discussion. So bring your half to the table. We'll bring ours. We'll hash it out. It's the Press Box at ESPN.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back rolling through the second half of the program on a Friday. It's Nick and Joel on The Press Box, having a good time. Great conversation, kicking around a lot of different topics as we roll you into your weekend. I don't know what the blitz out today. Do we know who's filling in today?
It's Fred Davis for the first hour, and then he brings his boy Henry Thomas in for the last 2 hours. So the blitz is out. Fred Davis and Henry Thomas are in.
The HD
show is what they were called.
HD show, yes.
Yep.
All right, so you've got that to look forward to on your drive home, but we're going to set you up for them and for your weekend by getting you all up to speed with everything that's going on and more. I'm actually tweeting out at Pac-Man Joel the Shaq booger with the video of him when he discovered it, too. It's pretty hilarious stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to retweet it, too. At Pac-Man Joel, at the producer, Nick. Oh, it's a TMZ link.
Yeah, from the TNT. But that's because they had the actual video.
The clip, fantastic. That makes sense. But someone said he might have signed for a half year, but he still got paid 18.5. We're talking about Roger Clemens.
Oh,
and the other thing is Justin Verlander wasn't tied to like any cheating and stuff like that, like Roger Clemens was, right?
No.
So there's a leverage point there to discuss.
But the
timeline is important though.
It does ring a bell a little bit. And Largo said it was 2007, but I do remember when we talk about hometown discounts, it was a hometown contract so that he could stay in Houston, in his house, in his own bed, with his sons coming up in baseball, and he didn't have to travel on every road trip.
Okay.
So they prorated it and took some of that stuff out of it.
Okay.
That's how that came. If I'm right, that's how I believe it. That came to be with
him. I just think it's a different situation with Justin Verlander, and I just don't think that's the case. Like, to be honest with you, 713 who texted that in, if Verlander was willing to do that, I would pull the trigger on that deal. why wouldn't you? It's a low risk situation with a player that has, it could be really, really high reward. Again, because of that in itself, why would Justin Verlander do it? I'm not saying it's a terrible text. I'm just saying I don't think the likelihood of Verlander doing it.
To consider this one factor, because I get it if you were in the situation the Astros were in when it was Clemens. They desperately needed a horse. Yeah. They needed that big starting pitcher. This team has shown you they have a surplus of starting pitching right now. And even if you don't put Kent Emanuel in there, in the one start that he, or the 8 2/3 that he gave you, and you look at Garcia, and you look at Fromber and Odorizzi coming back, and you look at what Javier has been for a second straight year, and you look at and expect Urquidy to be what he was last year as he's showing more and more signs, and McCullers with every start. I'm talking about 7 or 8 guys now. So now you have a surplus to where if you are James Click, who seems to be a guy that borders on youth, inexpensive contracts, and surplus of talent instead of big-name blockbuster-type guys, he might shy away from re-signing a Verlander or a Greinke and go, I got guys under team control at cheap contracts for the most part for the next 3, 4, 5 years. I don't have to worry about starting pitching, so I can spend the money that I would spend on Verlander and or Greinke on other needs that we might have.
Speaking of other needs, and you've been talking about center field for quite some time, and you just mentioned there's a surplus of pitchers on this roster. Do you potentially trade somebody to address that void?
Yeah, Jason asked me earlier on Twitch, and that's the answer I gave, because Dre was saying, well, the reason why they got rid of C-Sheck was the fact that they were worried about the cap threshold. And, you know, what do they possibly have? Because the reports are that their farm system is very much depleted compared to other teams, and also trades they've made in recent years like Greinke. The thing is because you have a surplus of young starting talent under team control, there's going to be plenty of teams that go, that's the exact, you know, especially small to mid-market teams that are competitive, like a Kansas City Royals. Because of the fact that the Royals don't have a massive payroll, but they started the season hot. Mike Matheny is a good manager. They were in the position to be fighting for the first place in the division. If that continues, you've got a team tailor-made for young team-controlled pitchers that are going to be in need. So it's situations like that where then you look at their roster and say, do they have a veteran outfielder that we could use? That where it wouldn't cost us much to give up one of those 7 or 8 starters.
Who's the victim here? Who's the casualty? Who are you giving up to fill that void? Which pitcher?
I would believe that they would want Javier, and I would say no. I would think that I'd be more willing to give up Urquidy or Garcia.
See, I think it's between those two. I think it's Urquidy or Javier.
I don't think Javier goes. He's just been too valuable. He's been too good.
No, I'm just saying if I'm a team inquiring about who I get back.
Sure, no question. The team inquiring, that's the first person you look at.
Yeah.
And you go quickly. Now, if Fromber doesn't get hurt, but the good thing was it wasn't a rotator cuff or an elbow or anything like that. It was a non-pitching finger because it was on the pitching hand, but it wasn't one of the fingers you used to pitch with.
Okay.
I think that people would still have Fromber having value. I think Fromber and Javier are the two guys now. I thought it was Urquidy after last year, but I think that you're going to have McCullers because you signed him. I believe that the first two guys that are untouchable, and Odorizzi's got a 2-year deal, so he ain't going anywhere. I think Javier and Fromber are the two guys you can't have, anybody but that other guys we can have a discussion.
Was anybody interested in Garcia?
I don't think, but you know why? Because he hadn't proven, he hadn't pitched above, I think, A-ball until last year. Yeah. And then what he did last year and what he's continued to do this year has got people's interest peaked. Now they're like, okay, he wasn't proven before. And we always talk about if teams haven't seen the guy before, it takes a while before they get some tape on him and see what his tendencies are. But now, even after that, the way he's pitched in an environment like Yankee Stadium, in the environments he's been this year, I think a lot of teams are going, that's a guy we could use on our squad.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because I wouldn't want to give, I'm like you. If they're coming up to me and they're saying, you know what, we're going to start with Javier, I'm going to say, let's not start at all. Let's go somewhere because I don't want to give up on Javier right now, even if it's a situation where the season is too early and we don't know if he's going to be consistent enough. Garcia is a guy that you're right. He hasn't pitched above A-ball like you mentioned, but if you just get him at the right spot to the point where you get his stock up just enough, that might be a guy I'm willing to pull a trigger on. In the event you can fool a team into taking him and getting something decent in return to fill that void at center field. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that might be something that you might look into. Javier, I'm not ready to give up on. Why? Because of the performances that he's shown.
Yeah, his success level.
Even if it's a short sample size, it's still impressive. It's still impressive.
And look, Chesagovia was saying on Twitch, look, I really want to see Garcia in long relief. I do too, but that doesn't get you where you need to go with an outfielder. And because the farm system doesn't have all of these prospects that other teams want, you have to give in order to get. So you have to have something. Yeah. What you do have, aside from your farm system issues, is a surplus of starting pitching that is young and under team control that can at least be something that starts a conversation. So you can look at a team's roster too. And look, from a James Click perspective, you're not going to take the third or fourth young outfielder on a roster. The same way they're looking at Javier and Fromber first or probably looking
at
Boca.
Taking somebody way down
I'm looking
in the depth
at their
chart.
Best young outfield prospect or best bet, and then let them tell me no.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's why if I'm James Click, I'm looking at that situation and saying, I don't want to give up on Javier, and I'm not sure I can fool anybody with Garcia, but maybe I can. So that's why in a lot of situations when you're mad and you're watching these games and you see the obvious voids on the field and you're like, man, James Click, why don't you get... Because sometimes it might not be there. There might not be a trade available for him to make. All right? It's on him to do that, though. He's the GM. He needs to work with Crane and see if he's willing to spend some money or make the right moves. But I like the idea of somehow finding a way, if you can really work with Garcia, up his stock just enough to where you can get something decent in return. And look, there's no guarantee that the team's outside looking in saying, you know what, Garcia is a guy I'm really willing to give up a solid outfielder for, a center fielder for. You don't know what the situation is, but it's on the Houston Astros to do so. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on who the potential casualties are, because it is starting to look like that there's a surplus with pitching. And now with Justin Verlander giving his update.
That's attractive for other teams too, Nick, because you can never have enough pitching.
No, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
And so that kind of, I don't want to say trumps, but that kind of makes up for the fact that you've depleted a lot of your farm system. Now, teams don't have to go dipping into your farm system and taking a guy that's unproven completely and saying, when he gets to the major leagues, will he perform? Now you're taking young arms that have already proven they can pitch in the major leagues and say, that has more value to me than getting one of your top prospects.
Yeah. So and someone on Twitch is saying, like, it's usually Houston that gets fooled. I mean, yeah, sometimes. The Astros are not necessarily known for that, though.
Depends on who the GM is.
Are they known? They're known, like, in recent history to give bad deals, to get bad deals and not get enough in return. I don't think the Astros were known for that as of recent history.
No, I think.
You're talking about that with the Texans,
yeah,
for
sure.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think. The Texans, absolutely.
But
the
when is Lunau? When is
Lunau? Darryl fleeced enough teams that you can't really say that about Darryl. Rafael, you can surely say that about, and there's more to come on that. But I think that the only thing you can say of from a baseball perspective, whether it be Luno or James, since Luno, but basically all on Luno's watch was, you maybe gave up too much to get Greinke, because you gave up a lot of your top beer and some of your other top, really highly regarded top prospects, but you were going for it. So you can never fault a franchise when all cards are in and they're going for it.
Yeah,
that's the price you pay.
I'm not faulting Luno for that at all.
Completely. All right, we're going to roll through hour number two. We still got hour three to go. So lots more to come. Stay right where you are. Right where you are. Easy for me to say. It's Press Box ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Nick. If you're ever in Nashville, Kid Rock has a bar and a restaurant. And evidently, it's a pretty cool place. It's a popular thing. But if for any reason something goes wrong, I just want to warn you ahead of time, don't swing your poop bag at anybody.
Why not?
Because it's not going to end well. A man wielding a colostomy bag was at Kid Rock's Nashville bar over the weekend, and the details were messy.
Mm.
He was intoxicated, shocker, at Kid Rock's Honky Tonk Rock and Roll Steakhouse. It was a Saturday night. Police got calls of an unruly man at the establishment. According to the local NBC affiliate, that's where they found Nicholas Newhart, who was inebriated, and he was blocking the bar's outside emergency exit and refusing security's demands to leave the premises. So the police showed up. He didn't want to leave. They were going to either cuff him or take him away. When they came and approached him, he proceeded to take out his colostomy bag from his pants and began swinging it around at the officers.
I guess, if you have one of those and you start drinking, I guess that's the logical step. I don't know.
Well, but if that's the case, wouldn't it just be filled with urine? In this case, it was a full house, and it wasn't just urine. And when he swung it at the cops, feces came out of the bag and hit the police officers.
Let me tell you something. If you hit a police officer with feces, it's going to hurt. It's going to
hurt?
It's going to
smell?
I'm talking about what he does to you in return. He's gonna beat your ass because he's not going to appreciate that. That is
crazy.
Who would? Who the hell would do that anyway? I don't remember the last time I refused to leave a bar because they were trying to kick me out for being drunk.
Has there been opportunities for you to be kicked out of bars?
Sure. Okay. You've never been kicked out of a bar?
I have not.
Never?
No.
Oh, normally you were with either Charles Barkley and all these NBAs.
No, that's not true.
And you look like the manager in the entourage, so no one messed with you.
No, not true at all. And in Midtown, there have been a few rumbles, but I normally took it outside. I'm not dumb enough to, start throwing haymakers inside a bar. I'll do it in the parking lot or outside.
Sometimes it evolves into that. Sometimes a haymaker, you don't mean for it to start in the bar.
Dude, one night,
you start throwing haymakers in the bar, and then it ends up causing you to get kicked out.
No, one night at the Red Door.
That was the spot.
Oh, it was awesome. And we had just got to the got there, and so we were grabbing drinks as soon as we got in there at the first floor bar. And some guy had been in there for a while, and I knew the female bartender, so went to her to get the drinks, for obvious reasons. And this dude, I guess, had been hitting on her and wasn't succeeding. So he thought, me being able to have dialogue with her was offensive. So he sucker punched me.
Ooh, that's not nice.
And I literally looked and went, did he just hit me in the face? And then when I realized he did, he took off running. And I was like, just wait till you get your ass. Nick, I went to that multi-level parking garage across the street from Red Door. And I started scouring the floors. Then I just waited at the exit point because I was going to find that little. But I wasn't going to do it in the bar.
When I punched him, he didn't start running. He just started throwing punches back. So I got screwed. You got lucky.
Yeah.
Because
then I could do it. Then I could finish it outside. But yeah, there's a bunch of dumbasses out there. But this guy, so he starts throwing the poop bag at the cops. One of the cops, it was so bad, had to go and change clothes.
Oh, that's nasty.
God, there's a lot of things that we talk about on this show that some people find disgusting. I'm like, it's not that big of a deal.
That is disgusting.
I don't need that.
I don't need your feces on my shirt, bro. I don't need that. Or your urine. I'll pass. Hard pass on that. Hard pass on that. Why the hell would I want that?
I don't know.
But that is fighting words. I mean, if I was a cop, I would have just beat your ass with the club. I wouldn't have cared.
Well, I think that's an open invitation, right? If you do that to a cop, then you...
If you throw feces on me, why am I not beating you with the club? Explain that to me.
Well, you're right. And now, someone brings this up, and I didn't even think about this, but if this is true, then it makes it even that much worse and that much more disgusting. They said the smell of the raw waste from a colostomy bag is way different than the smell of regular poop, and it's ungodly. If that's the case, then he deserves everything that he got and more.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. That's the ultimate disrespect. I mean, people will get hurt far more just for spitting in their face. You're throwing feces at people. That's just disgusting.
But someone said, and look, and I'm not a medical professional, and I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Select last night to be one. They said urine does not go into colostomy bags.
You mentioned
bags.
That.
Okay, great.
You mentioned that already.
Right.
Jeez.
Someone said, where did the Blitz go? They're on vacation this whole week. So there's your answer to that. Nothing's happened to them. They're just on vacation. Yeah, but I want to throw that out because I was like, dude, there's certain things that are disgusting, and then there's that. That's at a very high level for me in terms of I can tolerate a lot of things. Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's a zero tolerance policy for me. Those are either fighting words or I'm going to use the club to beat your ass words or it's a fight. I might lose the fight, but we're fighting. You're not throwing feces on me and getting away with it.
Largo wants to know what my move was at the red door. Was it lurking on the staircase or was it upstairs? Oh, the main move was outside. Upstairs, outside.
He's accusing you of being a little chicken is what he's doing. He's saying you're a buck, 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 buck.
No, he's not. He's talking about picking up chicks.
I don't know.
Well, he'll answer,
I think he's saying that you were like hovering or hibernating around the staircase. So that guy going outside.
He's asking where, okay, Largo, clear it up for us because he said, what's your move at the red door? Did you lurk on the staircase for a little while to get a lay of the land? Or did you hang out at the upstairs bar to pick off the Bambies? Okay. Those are chicks.
I didn't see that part.
Yeah. We would go outside on the deck upstairs. That was the, that was the prime.
The Red Door, I don't know if it's still around anymore.
It is. It's a different name. It's changed names a couple times.
Yeah. Shot but Bar is still around.
That whole area expanded even more.
Oh, yeah. It's a completely changed place now.
But I also think, and much like everything else, I think that it's also a lot more violent than it was when I was living in Midtown and we were going down there every weekend. And it was an awesome place within walking
distance. I mean, Midtown, downtown, it could only always get violent a little bit when there's alcohol involved and there's tough guys involved. I mean, we've been in our fair share of fights. It happens. Okay. It happens.
Someone asked if Juggalo Trey is dead. No, he's not. Why? Because he hasn't been on the air for a while?
Has he not been on the air?
I haven't seen him around the station. No, we're never... Yeah, we're...
I haven't seen him for a while either. I haven't got a text from him either.
Thanks, I guess.
I don't know where he's at. We all love the Jugs.
But that's the thing, too. Just follow him on Twitter, and you know he's alive because he tweets all the time.
Mostly about NASCAR, yeah, but he's always
true,
tweeting.
But other things, too. Yep.
I think that Red Bull, like that crash that you get from drinking energy drinks is uppercutting me in the face right now.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I drank two of them today.
Well, I should have, because, man, I've been running around all morning, and I got this the allergies going on. I needed a coffee just to make sure I wasn't, like, coughing all over you.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I would appreciate
you. I wouldn't
do
that.
Well, I mean, I've got the glass, so I'm good. I don't have to worry about have to worry about you putting your germs.
I'm not talking about my germs. I'm talking about the fact that I thought I was going to lose my voice. That's why my voice is kind of deeper today, because... my allergies went haywire overnight, and I was so locked up. I was taking Claritin and the nasal spray and everything else.
And what is it, that zinc that you take?
Zicam.
Zicam.
Took one of those, too. Yep. It works. I'm just telling you.
And
you know what?
About it.
You used to doubt it, and then you tried it, and it worked for you, too.
I never doubted it. I just wanted to try. I like the idea of
the fact
that...
Oh, you doubted it.
Well, the fact that you don't have to use water. It's not like a pill.
Yeah.
And it just kind of melts in your mouth.
Right.
I know that didn't sound right, but... No,
but that's what you chose to use. AR Platinum, a friend of the show that we love, he said he talked to Juggalo Trey yesterday on IG, and he's good. So there's the report. Someone wants to hear him on the air. Well, you know what? Maybe if Fred and Henry want to put him on, they can. I'm sure if he's listening, he will be responding to us anytime.
Taste the freedom.
How come the Blitz is off? I feel like they've taken several days off. How come they get all this vacation time and we don't? What's going on?
They decided to take some time off.
I feel like Fred and AJ is being lazy.
If I saw it correctly, I think AJ might have done a quick trip to Vegas because I think Jerry Bowe was talking about Vegas. By the way, props to Jerry Bowe and Josh Jordan. Moneyline did a great job filling in for the Blitz yesterday. So they're going to wrap the week with the HD show with Henry and Freddie D.
Yes, indeed. That comes up in an hour.
Yep. So we've got plenty more to get to here on the show. Final hour, we normally open it up a little bit more, do a lot more fun and games than just sports. But we've given you the main stories of the day. And David was telling me from Apollo Men's Health today that he always gets in the car during the 3 o'clock hour, and he always misses the headlines of the day. He loves the fact that we get off the beaten path, but he hates the fact that he sometimes misses it. Well, you know what? We'll do half-hour headlines.
Is that the Tom Brady lover? Because he got on to me because I said I don't want Tom Brady to win anymore. Sorry. It took.
I'm with you on that.
It took how many Super Bowls for me to finally hate him? I think I did pretty well, bud. Most people hated Tom Brady after the first Super Bowl.
Can I ask you a legit question, too? Because we talk about memorabilia on this show from time to time and its value.
Mm-hmm.
How much would you pay for Tom Brady's first touchdown pass ball in the NFL? It's up for auction.
Do you want to answer this now or later?
No, just think about it. Let it marinate. We'll bring it up at some point. All right, we'll be back for the final hour of the program in just mere minutes. Stay right where you are. It is the Press Box on ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.